Well, I'm supposed to preach on this passage from Exodus, but I think we've heard enough. So let's all just agree to follow these 10 simple rules, and we'll be good to go. It'll be easy, right? God was clear as a bell to Moses, gave him these 10 things for the people to follow. I mean, it's not like there were 11 or 12, just 10. And they're not hard tasks. Just don't kill anybody. Don't steal goats or cattle or your buddy's wife. And that's it. I'm sure we could go down the checklist. And I mean, if you've already done one or two things, that's okay, right? It's not like we're perfect. I'm sure during the reading of this passage this morning, a few of you probably already dozed off, thinking one of two things. Either these commandments are for the Israelites or the Jewish people living in a more primitive world, not for us living in the 21st century. And also, they're rules that we can't help but break when you take into account capital punishment, war, elder abuse, cell phone usage, technological advances, and addiction. Or perhaps you think, since we're Christians, meaning we follow a risen Christ who has offered grace freely for our sin, this list doesn't apply. I'm forgiven if I murder. I'm forgiven if I cheat on my spouse. I'm forgiven if I tune out what my parents are telling me to do. So what are we to do with this word from God today? March 4th, 2018. There have been a few new versions of the Ten Commandments. I posted one on Facebook, the Ten Commandments for having a cat. There's Ten Commandments for bacon. There's the Hillbilly Commandments. But no matter what version you look at, our response is usually the same. This is a list of rules. This week I posted on Facebook asking for the first reaction of to the Ten Commandments. And I received a lot of replies from old friends, from family members, from pastors across the country, and even several of you. I'm not going to call anybody out, but it is on Facebook if you want to look at it. A lot of reactions included the feeling of being judged, a feeling not good enough. And there was even some admonishment from a friend in San Diego who still can't believe that I wasn't required to watch the Cecil DeMille 1956 classic film, The Ten Commandments, in seminary. A few people commented on how great the world would be if everyone followed the commandments. And you know what? Maybe they're onto something. Rules, laws, and no-no-nos, oh my. But what if we thought about them as a gift? Or maybe an invitation? It may seem a little far-fetched, like why would I willingly not to do anything on a Sunday? There's always a game, or my kids have sports and activities, or that's the only day I have to get work done around the house. And also, how is not murdering, and not stealing considered to be a gift? This is tough, but I think with all things, God works for our good, and if everyone followed these guidelines, we'd probably all live pretty good lives. So what happened when God gave Moses these commandments? When Moses came down off the mountain, were the people excited? Did they yell and scream, "This is just what we've always wanted"? No. They were all worshiping a golden calf of their own construction, and Moses was not happy and ended up breaking the tablets in his anger. So not really the response that was expected. But it gives us a sneak peek a world without these codes. There's a reason God gave us these specific commandments. Now, I'm not going to go down the list and talk about each and every commandment this morning, but I did want to take a look at a couple of them and just to check in, see how we're doing personally and communally, see if there's even a reason for us to uphold them today. Let's start with number one. You shall have no other gods before me. The Israelites were turning to anyone and anything that would provide them what they wanted, some sense of security. While Moses was up the mountain, they made themselves a golden calf just so they could worship something tangibly. It's easy for me to say, oh, there is only one God. I mean, I'm a Christ follower. I love God. I got some credentials behind my name. But guess what? I literally put everything before God. We all do. skipping out on connecting with God through prayer, worship, and service, it doesn't feel like it affects me nearly as much as a dead cell phone, or when Suddenlink goes out, or when my bank account is low. A good way to discover what we worship is to figure out where our focus is. Is your focus on what you need to do next? Or do all the things you do point to a greater reality that God is with you and God is in control? What if what would it look like if we were to put God first above everything else in our life? For me, it means turning off my phone. It means heading to a gun park to spend time in creation. It means cooking a meal. It means reading and journaling, reflecting on what I see happening in the world, and asking questions about how I can better serve. Because in doing all these things, I'm a much more patient person. I'm a healthier person, and I'm not as consumed with all the bad stuff happening in the world and worrying about things I don't have any control over. I can focus on the people and the community I'm surrounded by and the ways that I can actually help. I can worship the one God by being a good friend, by being available for opportunities to serve, and living my faith out of a place of abundance, not fear or longing for security. You shall have no other gods but me. Sounds like a good and healthy thing for us in our community. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I mean, that sounds like a great idea. I'd like to get a full day off from working each week. Does this mean I can't do anything on Sundays except go to church and brunch? Sundays for me are kind of considered work. I show up and I have things to do. I mean, we could make a list of all the things that are considered work and things that we would need to avoid. Driving could be considered work, so maybe we just need to stay home. Cooking is considered work, so we can't eat anything that needs to be prepared. And forget about putting on pants, that's a lot of work. And although we could probably all agree that God did in fact intend the Sabbath as a day without pants, there has to be more than just a list of don't do this or that. We tend to think of God resting on the seventh day after 6 days of creating, but creation really was a 7-day event. The seventh day, the Sabbath, is part of creation. God took rest in what was created. How do we take rest in what we've created throughout the week? Is it a time of reflection, a time of worship, a time of thanksgiving? Yes. I wanted to provide you with just a couple examples of the commandments to help us expand our view. The Exodus journey was all about learning what God wants of God's people, discovering what it means to be God's people and community, and to figure out what kind of lives they were freed for. There's a blessing in the commandments, a blessing for us as individuals and a blessing in the for us as a community. They give us structure. Boundaries aren't meant to be limiting, but to provide freedom. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I love social experiments. I majored in sociology in college, so studying people and their habits and culture, it's kind of my jam. So I read about this social experiment conducted involving school-age kids and a playground. So there were two groups of kids. One group was taken with their teacher to a playground, and it had all the playground equipment, it had a field, and whatever else was beyond the field. There was no fence, no clear boundary saying, stay back from here. So I would assume that the kids would want to explore the area and try to get as far away as they could from their teacher before being called back. To push the boundaries, push the limits. That's what kids do, right? That's what we do. The kids actually stayed very close to their teacher. They didn't wander far, and they didn't even play on some of the playground equipment that was a little bit too far away. It turns out the lack of clear boundaries made them fearful of going out, going very far at all. They felt safer close to their teacher, and they didn't fully enjoy the whole playground. Now, a second group of kids were taken to a playground with their teacher, and it had a fence. They had the playground equipment, they had a field, and they had a fence. And guess what happened? The kids played all over the playground. They played all over the field and ventured out to explore all that they could. Because as it turns out, boundaries are a good thing. The kids had a clear view of where they could go and where they couldn't. They experienced more freedom with the fence than without. They enjoyed more of the playground and field when they knew where the limits were than when there was so much left unknown. So rules and boundaries actually give us more freedom. They offer us more life and invite us out of our comfort zone. God has offered us so much, but we tend to think of only the things we're limited by. And when we view the commandments as a list of don'ts, we forget all that God says yes to. Yes, explore this earth and beyond to the outer reaches of space. Yes, enjoy the hobbies. Enjoy the work that you get to do. Yes, immerse yourself in the community you're in. Celebrate with one another. Live authentic lives. Perhaps it's not about the specific behaviors or sins that we commit that God is truly concerned with. Maybe it's with our heart, our intentions, and our lives lived in community. These codes weren't just for the individual, but for the entire community, so collectively, they and we can live together in peace. And it might sound silly or foolish to welcome the Ten Commandments into our way of life and living in community, but as our passage this morning in 1 Corinthians shows us, what is wise to those of faith is often considered foolish to those who are not. It just doesn't make sense. We gather in this place not to be a rule-following people, but to be in conversation with one another and God with what life actually looks like. We have opportunities like faith formation, theology on tap, our 4x4 groups, our Lenten groups, all places for conversation and encouragement. We're invited to enjoy a better life together with our God and our community. We're gathered here to be sent out to be God's people in Fort Scott, in Bourbon County, in Southeast Kansas, and the rest of the world, celebrating and rejoicing in all that God is making new. Jesus sums up the law by saying we are to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Those are our boundaries. And they give us life and they give us freedom. And for that, we praise God. Let us end this service and walk out of here receiving this word, not as a burden, but as a gift, an opportunity to grow deeper in relationship with God and Christ. Amen.